This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Sharit Abdullah, and on the Breakfast Grill is Jeffrey Chu, former banker and now Group CEO of Paramount Corporation. A long-time property developer, Paramount is known for its niche developments such as Atwater at Section 13 Petalinjaya. Paramount is also a bellwether brand in education with KDU and Real in its stable. As it celebrates its 50 years anniversary and under Jeff's stewardship, Paramount has been doing housekeeping, disposing majority stakes in its loss-making KDU college and the university. It is also setting aside annual profits to invest in new businesses, notably in technology. We want to find out more about his plan. Jeffrey, thank you for joining us on The Breakfast Grill.
Thank you. Great to be back.
So, Jeffrey, in November, you tied up a deal with University of Wollongong in Australia to take over the business and operation of KDU College and University as part of your strategy to, you know, put all your eggs in the one property basket. The college and university have been loss-making, although, you know, these are well-known brands. KDU is a brand that everyone is familiar with. So why did Paramount lose the plot in tertiary education, given it's one of the pioneers in private education?
Firstly, if you look at the demographic, since 2003, the birth rate has been the same as at today. So there's no real incremental growth. So the market has becoming a little bit more challenging as it goes every year. And when we went into the 2011 and 12, we started to incur losses because there's a lot of competition came on board, and prices in terms of student fees, tuition fees and all that has actually gone down instead of going up, you know. So with that, we realized that it's no longer that viable from our perspective, given the size that we are at that point of time, to really continue investing in the business. And from that perspective, we decided that there are two ways we can do it. We can scale up very aggressively, but it requires huge amount of investment and also the market competition as well. So we decided that in order to really grow, it's really to partner with somebody who has the brand name, and also the international network who can actually raise the profile of the brand, give better quality delivery, and as well as also able to market our name and enrollment from our side. And that's where University of Wollongong came in very nicely. And we hope that we have been turning around the university campus in terms of the losses.
But why University of Wollongong? I mean, we have heard, I mean, there are other more well-known universities out there. If we're speaking about, since competition is stiff and you look to have a game changer out there. So why Wollongong?
Wollongong is quite interesting. It's a very new university. It's one of the fastest growing universities in the last 30 years. And of course, we like Australian because you see the success of Monash that run by shared by Sunway. So we felt that Australian is a good country to work with in terms of the university. And of course, we also want a new university. We don't want a very old university where it has a strong heritage and legacy, but we are looking at things like innovation, digitization, technology. And we were very impressed with University of Wollongong because we went to their innovation campus, nearly 400 acres of facilities where it's funded by the government as well. And we see so many state-of-the-art research being done. And of course, we're also very comfortable with the brand name and the position in Australia. And they were also quite established in Malaysia through the training programs as well. And we picked Wollongong from other choices that we had. And we thought that that's the right way to go.
Okay, so earlier you spoke about how the demographic has changed. How did you manage to convince Wollongong that they could have a good business case operating here in Malaysia?
I think when Wollongong look at several countries in Asia to come in a big way, they look at Singapore and then other countries, they felt that Malaysia is the best place in a way in terms of doing business and getting things done. And they pick us because they see a lot of potential. We have very good facilities. Our facilities that we built in Glen Mary, which have facility capacity about 7,000. So they can really grow very fast with the right type of programs, with the right kind of branding. And also Penang, we are building another campus in Batu Kawan, which they really quite impressed with. So to them, it's a good way and a fast way to team up with a local player who is also a very strong, good brand, and to inject the software and create the right outcome for their business. And that's why they picked us.
Does this mean that Paramount is planning to exit KDU College and University eventually?
Well, our deal with them is that they buy 65% for the University College, and after 4 years, they can decide whether they want to divest, whether they want to sell the 30% to, we can decide to sell the 30% to them. So, but we have a choice if we want to stay. And of course, the choice is actually both parties. There's a put and call option. So both parties, if they agree to stay, we like each other, we feel that we can actually grow bigger in Malaysia or also regional through that collaboration of the 30%, we can actually continue on as partners. So it doesn't really mean that at this stage, we are getting out of the tertiary.
Tell us about what is the status for 3KDU and Real School.
3KDU is doing extremely well.
Yeah.
Enrollment has been, at times, it's also a waiting list, and capacity is really max in a way. When we decided that within the tertiary business and the K-12 business, we saw K-12, there's a lot of opportunity and it's very profitable. Yeah. So we decided to expand that. And one of the expansion plans was to actually build another school, which is in Klang. And we also decided to accelerate it. We bought a Real Education Group, which have 3 campuses across Malaysia. And that has been in our stable for the last 2 years. And now making us the largest K-12 platform operator in Malaysia, which is something that we wanted to scale up to reach a scale where we didn't get a scale when we were talking about tertiary. Tertiary, we only have about 6,000 students. You know, to really become profitable per campus, you need about 6,000 to 7,000. And as a country, you probably need about 15,000 to be really profitable. We didn't have the scale. Now, we want to make sure that we have the scale in the K-12. And that's why we have Real and KDU. And it's doing extremely well.
Now, putting back your own argument, demographic has changed and also number of birth reducing. How does this translate to primary and tertiary?
Why is it different in terms of...
Why the difference of treatment, right?
Okay, number one is that it's the supply side. When you look at tertiary education, you only have 3 years that they stay with you. So the market sizing for tertiary is quite small, about 1.2 million students in that category. But when you look at K-12, you're talking about standard one all the way to form five. That's 11 years. So 11 years of 500,000 students. So it's 5.5 million market. And when you look at the supply side in terms of penetration is very low. We have less than 100,000 of seats in private school. Whereas in the tertiary, we have 1.2 million seats. And with a smaller market. So while the population growth is slow, but the new market is emerging on the K-12, you know, all the time as the affluent level of the country improves. So we see a lot of potential in that area.
Let's move on to Alpha REIT. It seems counterintuitive for Paramount, a property developer and also the owner, to sell their land and building to REIT. What compelled Paramount to this decision?
Well, I think we're in two businesses. One is education, which is also very asset intensified. And we have so many universities and schools that we are holding, and it requires a lot of capital. And on the property side, it's similar. We need to buy a lot of land bank. Mm. So with that, we felt that we need to actually move to a strategy which is more sustainable in terms of being more asset light. So that's the reason why we felt that 3KDU was at a point where it's generating enough cash flow, more than enough cash flow to pay for rental. And we decided to capitalize on that and sell it so that we can bring money back to the business. We can invest it in the property business. We invest it in the new investment in our campus, for example, in Penang, as well as so Klang. And also, we also paid 7.5 cents dividend to our shareholders as well.
Speaking about asset light, that strategy, how's that getting along? I mean, moving on towards that asset light strategy, the number of assets that you have is increasing.
Yeah, it's increasing because we are also growing on the property side as well. And in the property side, we are also trying to become a little bit more asset light. The transaction that we did with the acquisition of land in Cyberjaya, we used to take maybe 3 or 4 years to turn it around before we can launch. Now what we do is when we acquire an asset, we will try to accelerate. Within a year, we can launch. So we also try to do a lot more JVs, so that we don't have to put a lot of capital outlay in the land. So that's going on very well. And of course, in the education itself, we also have bought We actually have constructed the campus in Batu Kawan. That is another 120 million. So in a way, we need to sell. If we didn't sell, then we need to really borrow. And my banker's friends would be very nervous if I keep on borrowing and borrowing for expansion.
Okay. Well, joining us on The Breakfast Grill this morning is Jeffrey Chu, Group Chief Executive Officer of Paramount Corporation. Later, we will continue asking Jeffrey on his property side of the business. Stay tuned on BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
You've tuned in to BFM 89.9. On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Jeffrey Chu, Group CEO of Paramount Corporation. Moving to property development, Paramount has announced 7 projects, 2 more to start this year. And this seems like a, you know, sounds like a very ambitious plan or phase that Paramount is undergoing at the moment, especially considering weak property market outlook. So why the big push in 2019?
Well, I don't really think it's a big push. We had been a small player, you know, 2 or 3 projects before I joined. And now we have about 7 projects. And the turnover was 300 million in terms of the sales. Now we're about 1 billion. So really, you need to keep on putting new projects in to replenish the old ones. For example, our old ones that are in Glenmary, which we are, you know, very near to the end, the 3rd phase. So that's going to complete by end of the year. So we need to replace new projects. So of course, even in Penang and in Batu Kau, in Sungai Petani as well. So our 500 acres finished, and now we have another 5 acres, which are halfway through. So we need to keep on introducing to replenish our stock in a way of our land banking. So we also feel that as a property developer in Malaysia, to be in a decent size, to be around the top 10, you need to have about 8 to 10 projects. That would be a good size to be in.
Yeah, but again, all the indicators are showing that there is a weak consumer sentiment. So how confident are you? How, with all these indicators, how do you feel optimistic about going, pushing it hard for 2019?
Well, if you look at our turnover of 1 billion sales, which is actually nearly about 1% plus of the total sales. 1 billion sales for 300,000 property per piece. You basically need to sell about 3,000 units a year. The market, secondary market, and also the primary markets generate a transaction of 300,000 over a year. So we're just taking 1% market share. And I used to work in a previous organization where my boss says that if you don't have 30% market share, you're wasting your time. I think he's crazy. But to me, 1% share is very small. So for us to grow 1% to 1.5%, you can keep on growing for like 20% a year for the next 5 years, and you still will not exhaust the existing market. So in a way, yes, the property market is soft. I would reckon that when we were churning the numbers from 300 million to 1 billion the last 3 years, it was a bit lukewarm. You know, buyers were very eager to buy because there's a lot of opportunity for capital gain. And it was a little bit kind of dampened by tightening of the lending guidelines, the GST, the currency depreciation, but it's lukewarm. But now, yes, it's a little bit soft, but we believe that we are still not a very big player. And if with our quality, with our products and the right location, we believe that it's not too difficult to actually maintain the 1 billion and a bit of a growth of about 10-15% a year, not 30% a year anymore.
All right. Well, so at the moment, based on the information that we have, 4 out of 7 of your launches in 2018 has yet to reach about 70% take-up rate. So what's the worst case scenario here? I mean, that you are projecting for your projects. I mean, what's the safe territory?
Well, usually what we do is that before we launch the next phase in the same project, we wait for it to reach 70% take-up rate, then we move to the next phase. So in a way, that helps to manage the risk of a lot of units unsold and at the end of completion. Our current record in terms of unsold unit inventory is, in terms of property units, is only about 11 million. So 11 million compared to a lot of players who are 1-2 billion sales could be in a range of about 1 billion inventory. So it's very small. And I think we have a very strong track record in terms of quality products that we have for our products, a very strong sales and marketing team, as well as also designing the product that suits the market and also the potential buyers, whether it's new buyers or upgraders and so on. So in that sense, we are fairly comfortable and confident that we can actually maintain the 1 billion sales number.
So basically now you have 4 out of 7 that's below 70% launched last year, which you still have to work really hard on, and 2 new launches for 2019. That's quite a big feat for Paramount.
Well, Shari, you need to remember that construction of the property takes 3.5 years to 4 years. Mm-hmm. So, like for example, our Atwater project in Section 13, we launched Chinese New Year the year before. By the end of the year, we nearly sold about 80%. Right. Even if we haven't, we still got another 2 more years to go or 3 more years to go. So we have nothing to sell. In fact, people are asking us, do you have this unit, you know, a good unit? So we don't have a lot of great units anymore. So we need to 70%, 80% is actually very good, in terms of 1 year. So we got a lot of time to sell.
Okay. Now, one of the biggest segments of oversupply they've identified is the, 500,000 ringgit to 1 million ringgit, home price category. You know, your target market is about that range. I mean, slightly lower. Of course, we're talking between 400 to about 600,000. The Prime Minister is urging all parties to sort of play a role and contribute towards realizing this 1 million affordable homes. With, you know, with your price at 400 and 600, do you plan to take part in this role in getting into 1 million affordable homes?
We have 2 landed residential projects in Malaysia. One in Sungai Petani and one is in near Cyberjaya, where our prices are about 300,000 to 400,000 for landed property. So in a way, that's actually quite affordable for even landed residential. But for projects that are high rise, our Klang project, which we are about to launch this month, some of the prices goes below 400,000 as well. So in a way, we do have quite a lot of products in the range of 300,000 plus all the way to 600,000. So we feel that, we are also playing our role in terms of giving products that are affordable to the market. But what is quite important is that, and the government planning to actually deliver 1 million affordable homes over the next 10 years. I think that's very important, and it's a very good effort been made. And we like to actually work with the government in terms of when there's a joint venture party we can help to build. But even the government going on it on its own, I think 1 million is good because the next 10 years you will see demand. We have 7.4 million of household in Malaysia. So the household is growing about 2 to 3% a year. So every year you have new buyers who need a home to stay at about 200,000 a year. So even when you build 1 million, there's another 2 million new requirement within 10 years. So in a way, I think government is now playing its role, helping housing in the market.
But do you think that this agenda, this affordable home agenda is realistic, especially taking into consideration the construction costs and most importantly, the, you know, land acquisition? Price of land is one of the key reasons as to why property developers are saying that they can't develop home within this price range.
I think that's precisely the point that the government needs to come in. If you look at Singapore, for example, the public transportation, the MRTs, it's subsidized. You know, if you also got to take care of the B40 in every country, you cannot just appease the top 20%. So in the B40 segment, you need to actually provide maybe land at a cheaper, and state government has a lot of land, and state government and federal government can work together in terms of giving the land at a more affordable price. And also if they build it in mass, they can actually get a lower construction cost. So in a way, the government strategy is a different ballgame, but they need to play their part, and the government is doing it, which is great. So we will play our part in terms of market-driven products where we will have the segment that is wanting a 400,000, 500,000 better quality, better location, you know.
You have CoLab, the co-working space in Starling Mall and also Glenmarie. What's the current occupancy rate for this 2 co-working space? And considering the competition within that location, such as work and common ground, just same here in the building, and also other shop lots?
Our occupants, we have 2 centres now. We started the first one in Glenmarie, which is our own development. And that was a little bit like a pilot, only about 80 seats. When we went to Starling, that's the one that we really put about 300 over seats. But the combined occupancy now is about 80%. And we're looking at 3 more centres for this year. So the demand is actually interesting. It's a new demand coming out for people who are SMEs, people who are freelance, and they decided that they just don't want to work from a home or some Starbucks or whatever, they feel that it's better to be working in a co-working center. So new market is evolving and coming in. And that's why the bigger players like WeWork, Common Ground, they are all coming in a big way because they see the market shifting from traditional office spaces into co-working space. We had about a 1 million turnover in terms of income last year, where we only started the Starling location about nearly 6 months. So we are projecting about 4 million in terms of revenue, and we hope by end of the year we'll probably have about maybe 1,200 seats compared to about 400 that we have today.
So besides this two current setup that you have, are there going to be any new branches that's going to be set up anytime soon?
We are looking for three locations this year. One is in the KLCC area, which will rent about 26,000 square feet. We are also putting one in Shah Alam, which is actually partially to house our property office as well, because we are currently renting. So we're going to move over there. This is what I'm trying to push, the digital push in Paramount. I strongly believe that the cost of doing business need to go down as any businesses. So I'm forcing my guys who's occupying about 200 over square feet per person into a co-working space where it's going to occupy 60 square feet. So reducing the space of requirement, safe rental. But on the other hand, the fact that in a co-working space, you have to do everything digitally. When you do everything digitally, you get tremendous productivity in terms of processes, filing cabinets and turn around and so on. And hopefully we can actually do more with less in the next 5 years in running property business or even. So I'm forcing them to be in a co-working space.
So, I mean, you speak quite passionately about turning things digital, and now you're committing aside some profits to invest in this area, in the area of technology to be more specific, and understand that by investing in these businesses, Paramount is sort of coming out from your comfort zone, so to speak, in a very unfamiliar territory from property and education, and now something with a much, you know, very different risk profile. So what drove you to this decision in comparison to just sticking to what you were good at?
Well, one of my fear is that in the tertiary space, one day there'll be free education. So that's the reason why we invested in Open Learning. Open Learning is an Australian startup in terms of an online digital program for university to put on their program online, and students can sign on through there. And also the university students themselves can actually use the efficiency from the program to deliver the courses. And of course, it's also supposed to compete with players like Coursera, Khan Academy and so on. So we invested about 2.5 million Aussie dollars in that for a 7% market equity stake. And we believe that is an extension of our education tertiary business. We are evolving. Maybe the next 10 years or 15 years, we might not be in education per se, but we could be in digital education.
Right.
All right. So that's why we are willing to actually put some investment, and hopefully we can make a good return in terms of capital gain, like co-working space, which is extension of property. But on the other hand, we could also discover new seed for core businesses that we can build for the next generation.
So right now your company setup is being made into two. There's property and education. So what's the structure looking like now? Do you have the expertise in place to pursue this new venture?
Well, this is the digital transformation plan. So we have hired some new people in who can assess some of new investments, and some of them will also able to help to monitor the investment as well, and also to provide advice, also networking for this business to grow as well. So in a way, we are slowly transforming and building the capability in this area. But again, it's something that we are exploring in terms of digital transformation journey. So it doesn't mean that we'll end up completely in that. So it's still very much early stage, but we got to start the journey. And we have started the journey about 1.5 years, 2 years ago with co-working space, with Open Learning. And every 2-3 weeks, I do get some investment proposal in terms of some digital business that's coming up. And we're just evaluating it.
On that note, I've been speaking to Jeffrey Chu, Group CEO of Paramount Corporation. Thanks again for being on The Breakfast Grill. I'm Sharis Abdullah for BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, now with wider 4G LTE reach. Baru la best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.